Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is William Betzelberger. I am the host and founder of the Resilient Masculinity Podcast and Movement. Thank you for tuning in today and thank you for listening. If this is your first time, or maybe this is your second time and you still don't know what podcast this is, Resilient Masculinity is a podcast in a community created by myself to inspire, to encourage, and to equip men with the tools, the knowledge, the conversations, and the skills they need to be the self-reliant, independent, sovereign, capable men they are called to be, so they can bring safety and stability and service to themselves, to their families, to their businesses, their churches, and their communities. And gentlemen, this is a message we need to share. We need to share it on the social media. We need to share it with our friends and our family. And this is why, because we are seeing men being told they need to be effeminate and like women. And we're seeing women being told they need to be men. And we're seeing children being sexualized at a young age. This is why we have weak men in the government who allow for the destruction of society around us. Instead, we need strong men, men who are capable, men who are resilient, who will stand for what they believe, for men who are not afraid to take charge and bring back order, bring back responsibility, and bring back sovereignty to you, your family, and your community. And gentlemen, again, this is a message we must share. So please, I know on YouTube there's a share button. I know on podcast apps there's a share button. If you're seeing this on my Facebook page, I'm sure there's a share button. Please share this. Share this with someone you know will like it, and then someone you know won't like it. Because we need to have these conversations. So gentlemen, we're going to jump right in today. We're going to talk about a contentious subject, and one that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is homeschooling. Okay, I think you have, I've talked about it in the past. Maybe you haven't heard that episode before. It was called Protect Your Children, Homeschool Them. In that episode, I explained that I myself was homeschooled. I was homeschooled from, I guess you would say it was K through 12. I never went to public school, never went to a Christian school. I went to my home. I was homeschooled. And there's still people today at work who are like, what school did you go to? And I'll just be like, home. And they're like, oh yeah, that's right, you were homeschooled. So that's how I answer it, right? That's my experience. So I know something about being homeschooled. I know the challenges. I saw my parents struggle with it at times. I saw them, we started out several years. I remember there was more than one year where we started off our school year in tears. Someone ended up being in tears. It just happened that way. But guys, it was the best thing my parents could have done for us. If I would take it every day of the week, I would go back and I'd do Algebra 2 again. Because I loved being homeschooled that much. It meant the world to me. And my wife and I are, if the Lord blesses us with children, we're going to homeschool them. And it's a fantastic road. It's a fantastic educational path. And I really do encourage you to do it. And today we're going to tackle the top four myths and the top four misconceptions and the top four lies you hear about homeschooling. But first, I'm going to give you a little background as to what I call the different eras of homeschooling. Okay, you have what I'll call the 1990s, early 2000s era. I'm going to call the first wave homeschoolers. That was my parents who decided to homeschool their children, and the homeschoolees, the homeschool students, were my generation, or was my generation. Okay, so you have my age children, back in the day we were children, right, being homeschooled. And the primary reason for that was our parents saw it from a religious point of view, from a worldview of, hey, culture is going against what we believe. It is going against the grain of what we believe. They are pushing things that we don't agree with. And so we're going to take our children out of the school system some of them even before they had them, like my parents, and we're going to homeschool them. And that was kind of the first major wave of it. I mean, in the 80s, you didn't have it as much. In the 70s, you had it even less. 1990s, early 2000s was the first major wave of homeschooling, if you will, in modern history. And especially in America. Now, there are countries like Germany where you can't homeschool your children. I think in Mexico, you can't homeschool your children. When I was a missionary in Mexico, the way they got around that was they formed a Christian school. That was basically all the missionary parents anyway. So it was a homeschool co-op made into a Christian school, basically, of which we'll talk about co-ops later on, what they are, kind of what their function is. But that was, you know, that was your first wave. So you had your youth pastor parents and stuff, and hey, I get it. That was my parents. My mom was a missions major. My dad was a youth pastor, at least for a time he was, and that was your first wave. And really what they did was they paved the way for us, their children, to grow up in a way that we had the values that they held dear, instilled into us. In fact, I hold dear to the very values my parents do. And, you know, you could say that's parroting. You could say that's, well, that was how you were raised, and that was the culture you were raised in, so of course you're going to. But I am my own man now. Right? I'm married. I have my own family. I have stepped away from my parents in that sense. I'm no longer under their roof, under their charge. In fact, I have a roof now that I am in charge of, that I have responsibilities over. And I am still choosing to follow that path. So I think first wave was your Christian homeschool, your religious homeschooling. Now, 2020, you see an uptick in homeschooling. Why? Well, you have what we call school at home, okay? There's a difference. Homeschooling is usually when you have your parents buy curriculum or make their own curriculum, which my parents did both. Okay, we had some bought curriculum, and then we had some, homemade curriculum as well. And, you know, your parents are your primary teachers. Well, school at home is the online schooling, right? The you log in, you know, you're going to James Street, you know, charter school or James Street public school, and you're logging into your student portal, and you're doing school just at home. 2020 hit, and most schools weren't set up for that, or weren't set up well for that. So I think you're seeing a pushback from that. You're seeing a pushback from their mask mandates, their vaccine mandates, and now a pushback from their pushing of sexual deviancy and sodomy onto children. Actually, just this past week, there was an article that came out. 3 eighth graders are being charged with misgendering someone because they failed to use their preferred pronoun. Eighth graders being charged under Title IX because they misgendered someone. That's why people are choosing to homeschool their children. That's why they're choosing to take them out of government-run schools. Because government-run schools are nothing more than indoctrination field. And, you know, you could say, well, what weren't you talking about, you know, your parents instilling values? Yeah, they indoctrinate. You can use that word. Indoctrinate means to instill doctrine. Instill in doctrine. Doctrinate. Instill doctrine. It's the process of instilling doctrine, a set of beliefs, a set of values, into your, if you will, subjects, whether they're your children or test subjects or you know, your captives or whatever. To indoctrinate someone is to instill doctrine into them. Here's the catch. It's your job as a parent to instill doctrine into your children. It is your responsibility to give them a set of values, a set of beliefs, and a set of characteristics that will serve them well and serve their society and their communities well. That is your responsibility. And as men, that is your responsibility to lead in that. So if you are not active in instilling good, solid doctrine into your children, then you are failing at your responsibility as a father, as a husband. Now, there's grace in that. You can start today. If you're not doing that, you can start today. It's going to take a long process, and it may not change overnight, but you can start that process today. So that is your new wave of homeschooling. Your next wave of homeschooling comes on the back of mask mandates, vaccine mandates, critical race theory, and sexual degeneracy within public schools, within government-run schools. So now that you have kind of a background as to the homeschooling sphere, if you will, we're going to talk about the top four myths and then kind of the counterarguments to that, the truths to them, what is true about homeschooling. And of course, there's going to be homeschoolers that disagree with me. There's going to be homeschoolers who loved it just like I did, and there's going to be people who grew up and hated it. Okay, it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all. And in fact, that's going to be one of the points I make later on. But your top four is going to be, one, what about socialization? Okay, your children won't be socialized. They're going to be weird. They're going to be that weird kid who no one knows, who doesn't make friends, and they just won't socialize in a normal world. Okay? Two, we're going to talk about the myth of just not being able to do it. Okay? I can't do it. I've got too much. We're too busy. We need two incomes. We're going to talk about that. Myth number three is that parents are not qualified to teach their children. That they're not qualified to be a teacher because they didn't go to school to be a teacher. You have to be a certified teacher to be a teacher. And that whole certification idea and ideology. And then four is that it's not for everyone. The myth number four is that, well, good for you, but I can't. It kind of ties in very closely with number two. There's some distinct differences that I'm going to draw to that. But number one, we're going to tackle number one first, is socialization. What about socialization? If I had a nickel for every time I heard this phrase, what about socialization? I'd be a good bit richer than I am today. Of which I'm not rich anyway, but you get the point. It's just overused, it's oversaid, and I think if you know any homeschoolers, you know that this is just baloney. Okay, it's just not true. Homeschoolers, you can meet people. You meet people all the time. You meet people at church. You meet other homeschool families. Okay, in my area of West Michigan, there are hundreds of homeschool families, thousands even. And what you can do is, we used to have, it was called LIFE at one time, L-I-F-E. I don't remember what the acronym was. I think it was Lakeshore, Interfamily, I don't know. Anyway, it was a homeschool group. It was a giant group of, I'd say, probably 100 families that would get together every year, and we'd have a cookout, the moms would get together, the dads would get together, and the kids would all play, okay? And homeschool moms can talk about the different curriculums they bought, the different struggles they had, the fun times, the not so fun times. The kids, we would just play and play and play and play some more and role play. And we'd go tromp around a cemetery. We would go pretend to play Lord of the Rings. We would have fun. Okay, we had friends. There's co-ops. You can form co-ops. And my family actually did this for a time when I was, I'd say, from in my high school. I'd call it my high school years, where there was a group about six or seven, more like maybe five to seven families, where we got together at one of our friends' churches on Thursdays. And us older ones, us high schoolers, would actually teach the middle schoolers. We would actually, it was part of my junior and senior year curriculum, maybe not curriculum, but my responsibilities, was to be the middle schooler's history teacher. Okay, so basically a co-op is just a group. It's like a farm co-op, right? You get a local group gathered together to make something local that works for you. And like for us, it was, since I have a love of history, I love history, and I got to teach it. And I got to share in that. And my twin sister, she actually was able to make curriculum for the younger girls based off of Anne of Green Gables, and she would teach that. It also gave our parents a minute to breathe. Once we were old enough to learn ourselves, to teach each other, it took a load off our parents. Okay, but socialization, you get to meet people all the time. And most of my friends are actually much older than I am. We're talking 30, 40, 50-year-old men. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, one, I had a strong group of mentors in my life. I had men who took time to show me how to tear apart small engines. I had homeschool dads take me to their parents' farm in Tennessee to help repair fencing and to learn about more of that agricultural farm life. I had family friends who were dads who were able to take us paintballing and learn about what it was like to be men out in the real world. And then, of course, I had my own dad, who was very knowledgeable in home improvement projects. I worked most of my childhood, I spent with either my dad or my grandfather working on home improvement projects. Whether it was putting a bathroom in my grandpa's basement or finishing my parents' basement, to installing light switches, building raised beds for a garden, to, you know, just any kind of activity that involved manual labor or home repair, fixing fridges. I worked for a summer as a subcontractor, thanks to another homeschool dad. You get to learn by being with men, by being with like-minded men, and I got to learn how to converse like a man. I got to learn how adults talk, and I talked to adults like an adult, even though at the time I was still a child or a teen. Okay, I had a wonderful opportunity to work for and volunteer for a Christian camp that we actually talked to representatives and senators at the state level. At 15, I was going to senators and representatives in their offices, asking them questions, going up to state officials. I talked to the governor when I was 15 years old. Talk about socialization. We got to meet people. We got to instill, I got instilled into me how to communicate like an adult. Okay? And I have good friends from all over the country. Because I went through different camps, okay? I didn't always stay at one camp, okay? I chose different camps, and that was fine. Maybe my siblings didn't like those ones as much, but I loved them. So I'd go to a different camp. And I got to meet hundreds and hundreds of like-minded young men and women from all over the country. Okay, there's big homeschool conferences in our state. There's a big conference in May in Lansing. In Lansing, Michigan, held just across the street from the Capitol building, or at least it used to be. I went through a camp called Teen Pact, and that's where I met most of my homeschool friends, again, from all over the country. Friends in Montana, friends in Georgia, friends in Oklahoma, and Texas, and Hawaii, and Alaska, and Pennsylvania, and all over the country. So we do. We get to socialize. And your children won't turn out weird. Okay, if weird means looking less at their phone every day instead of doing this, they actually talk to you. That's actually good, kind of weird. Okay. Two, parents aren't qualified. And I know I'm kind of deviating from the list I gave earlier. But number two, parents aren't qualified to teach their children. Yes, you are. Who knows your child more? Who knows your child better? A teacher who learns classroom management for 30 to 50 kids, or you? Who knows your children better? The one who tucks them in at night, tells them they love them, or a teacher who spends 8 to 9 hours a day with them, sends them home, and then has their own family to take care of? Who knows your children more? Who knows your children better? The story I want to use for this one is my younger brother, Mark. He's 23. He is a great man. And there is a picture of a dump truck cake, I think from when my brother turned 3 or 4. This boy has always loved big machinery. Always. I cannot tell you how many times we watched There Goes the Dump Truck. I cannot tell you how many times we had books and videos about heavy machinery. And now my brother is working on mines. Okay, he's working in the mines. He's working with heavy machinery. And he's getting paid decent money for it, too. Okay, but why did that happen? Well, my parents saw my brother's interest and tailored his education to that. Now, to be fair, I live in a state, Michigan, where we are arguably the freest in the country in terms of homeschooling. We have almost no requirements other than we follow the standard structure for credits. So you still need your half credit for government, you still need your half credit for econ, you still need, I think it's 3 credits for science and 4 for math or vice versa. You still have to follow that structure. But no one said what counts for what. Not only did I take a curriculum-based financial education course, but I also took bookkeeping and accounting for math, because I actually will use that in my everyday life. And if you look at my financial life compared to most people my age, I am miles ahead. Why? Because I tailored my education, my later years of education, to what I actually would do. What would actually be practical for me to do in order to raise a family, in order to grow my own food, in order to support financially a family on maybe just one income. Okay, my sister is a seamstress. She does it because that is her passion, and she took geometry an extra year because, or a more advanced geometry, because that's what she uses for sewing, is geometry. For me, I don't do geometry. I don't do shapes very much. It's just not something that happens in my everyday life. But you get me on finances, and I'm all on that. My other sister, my twin, she loves writing. And she now has her own editorial services and coaching on editing for indie authors. Again, she was able to tailor her education. Her education was tailored to her in her passions and her desires. Parents, that is on you. That is something. So if you know that your child is, you know, if you've got a 4-year-old who's a Bob the Builder all the way kind of kid, like I was, teach them. Teach them. Obviously, use age-appropriate things, okay? I wouldn't recommend a 4-year-old work on live electricity. That's probably not a good idea. But you can help them build a car. Help them build a boat. Help them build something. Use that creativity. Use that knowledge that you, as a parent who loves their children, who loves their child so much that they want to see them grow into a functional, value-adding adult who cares for their community, who is productive, who loves themselves and their community. You want to raise children like that, who are self-sufficient, who are capable, who are resilient, who can stand storms in life? You teach it to them. you become their qualified teacher by nature of loving them and setting them up for success. You are qualified to teach your children. You care more about your children than anyone else in this world. And it's disheartening. It's so disheartening to see parents being told they're not qualified because they don't have a fancy slip of paper. Because they didn't go to college for it. Yeah, my mom did not go to college to be a teacher, but she taught well. She taught well. I'm arguably much better off than anyone else who was raised into a public school system at my age. In my area. I'm much better off financially. I'm much better off physically. Well, okay, maybe not physical, but how about mentally? Okay, I don't deal with much mental other than my own stress I give myself. I am very secure in my identity because I grew up in a house that taught me because they loved me. And as a homeschool child, the knowledge that you have that, yeah, school assignments can still suck, okay? I hated Algebra 2. I hated Algebra 2. It sucked. It wasn't fun for me. I did not like imaginary numbers. I could not wrap my brain around it for the life of me. But I had a teacher who loved me enough to not let me fail. Number one, she would not let me fail. She made me redo it and figure out why I was wrong. Two, she taught me how I couldn't just give up on something because it's hard. And three, I grew in the knowledge that even though I wasn't doing great in school, even though that year in particular, my math sucked, everything else was fine, but my math was really hard, didn't mean my parents loved me any less. You know, yeah, there were moments of frustration, but my parents still loved me. And knowing that even no matter how bad I was doing in my academic role in that moment, did not change how much my mom loved me. It did not change how much my dad loved me. It did not change based off of a report card. And to know that and to rest in that was a major relief off my shoulder as a child or as a teen. That is something that most people don't talk about, but that is a big relief for them. It's a big relief off your children. And so you need to instill that into your children that, yeah, these are your academic, you know, expectations. Let's put that out there, right? You want to teach your children how to do well, how to work through things, work through the hard things. Like my parents did, right? I wasn't allowed to fail Algebra 2. I had to do it again. I had to rework the stuff I did to get a passing grade because I could not fail it. And you know what that taught me? That taught me how to work through the suck. That taught me how to find the right answer, even though it was difficult, even though I couldn't understand it. It taught me perseverance and endurance, and it was a good lesson, and I learned it within the knowledge of my parents still love me, even though this isn't up to their expectation yet. But you are qualified, mom. You are qualified, dad. You are qualified to do this. This is your family. These are your children. These are the children God gave you. It's your responsibility. You're qualified. You have the ability. You have the authority. You have that responsibility. It is on you. And you love them more than any other person in this world. If you think a teacher is going to do a better job just because they had a slip of paper, you're wrong. They're taught how to manage children. They're not taught how to see your children's desire, your children's interests, your children's gifts that God gave them, and how to train them in those things. Right? My brother would have hated public school because they don't teach you anything about heavy machinery. And now he's making good money working on heavy machinery, working with heavy machinery, because he was able to engage his passions, engage his interests in what God gave him an interest in, because my parents saw that and they worked that into his schooling. Okay, point number three, myth number three, misconception number three. I can't do it right now. And that may not even be a myth. That actually might be true. May be true. Hey, I know right now, right now, I don't have any kids. So I can't homeschool because I don't have kids. There's people who are not in the financial ability yet to have children. Or not necessarily to have children, although that may be the thing, but to homeschool their children. There are people who cannot, right now, operate on one income. They have to have that second income. And that's where three and four kind of blend together, so that you're going to have to make sacrifices, okay? But first, let's just tackle the I can't, right? Are you saying you can't because you don't want to, or are you saying you can't because you actually can't? Okay, if my rent goes up $300 a month and I can't get enough work to you know, make up $300 a month extra, then yeah, I may not be able to. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to try. There's so many people who think they can't do it because they're not qualified, because their kids are going to be weird, and because you need two incomes. You don't need two incomes. No, you don't. My parents were able to live off of one. And my dad worked in manufacturing most of my life and did not make great money. Okay, he made enough. He made enough to feed us, to house us, to clothe us. Growing up, though, I did play with a lot of my dad's old childhood toys. Because they were also built to last in the 70s, you gotta realize. They made toys to last. Not like today's $120 plastic crap that'll, you know, waste away in 2 years. Okay, I played with my dad's Tonka trucks from the 70s. Growing up, okay? And his little Fisher-Price farm set from the 70s. Again, they built stuff to last. Unlike today. But you can do it. It's not always comfortable. You know, we did not get the newest toys. We did not get the brightest, flashiest things. But that's okay. I turned out okay, I think. But it's okay not to keep up with the Joneses. Guys, you cannot keep up with the Joneses and have the kind of life you want. Unless that is the kind of life you want, in which case it's going to be an unfulfilling, unsatisfied life. But if you want to live a life that brings value, that brings encouragement, that brings safety, stability, and service to your family, to your community, to your businesses, and to your churches, then you better stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. And focus on your family. Focus on building your family up. Focus on building up your children. Focus on building up your community. Serve them. And then, in that, you will find that you're actually going to live the life you want to live. So, you can do it. You can do it on one income. Again, it may not be easy. Okay, I understand. My parents were not rich. They still are not rich. I am not rich. Being rich is nothing. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. Sure, it may mean you have different opportunities. It may mean you have a slightly better house. It might mean you don't necessarily have to worry as much about food, about how you're going to feed all these kids. That's okay. I'm not dissing it. But I'm saying you don't, it's not the end-all be-all. And four is that it. I just can't deal with the sacrifices. That's the big one right there. That is that, again, that may be a true statement more than a myth. Guys, homeschooling takes sacrifice. It takes tons of sacrifice. Again, there were years where we started off the school year with tears. There were days it was hard. I know I drove my mom up the wall. Mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry. There were days I was a utter butthole. And that's to put it lightly. That I was not the best student or necessarily the best son at that time. There were days I did not do my schoolwork the way I should have. And I know I put a lot of stress on my mom. But again, I matured, I grew, I'm growing still. But it took sacrifice. It took a lot of sacrifice on my parents' part. And you as a parent, you have to be willing to sacrifice for your children. Again, it's your responsibility to love them and take care of them. This is a way to do it. Okay, again, my dad never made a lot of money. He still doesn't make a lot of money. He went in to work day in, day out. No complaints I ever heard from him. I never heard him complain about things. I never heard him complain about the economy. Unless we were discussing economy and he was giving me kind of more of a history lesson and using himself as an example. But I never heard him complain about his job as a dad being the sole breadwinner for the family. I never heard him complain about it. And I never heard my mom complain about homeschooling. She never complained about how she would much rather be out in the workforce or hanging out with friends or doing this or doing that. She loved spending time with her children. At least I think she did. I'm pretty sure she did. She did a lot. She still does a lot. But yes, it's going to take sacrifice. And again, as men, we are called to be the first to give that sacrificial love. We're the first one to sacrifice. We're the first one to die. So we need to die to ourselves. And that may mean getting a second job. There was a time where my dad had two jobs. I think he worked at Herman Miller during the day, and I think at night he worked at a car place, like a car cleaning place, or like a mechanic shop, and he cleaned it or something. There were times he worked two jobs. We never lived in a uber fancy house, but by golly, it was a good house. It worked. We went through many iterations of schoolrooms, some of them including no schoolroom at all, but rather just a family room. We had computers in now what are bedrooms. We had computers on our, you know, we'd keep our laptop on our bed and we'd do school on our bed. There's not necessarily a right way to do it. You just do it. But it takes sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice, and that's okay. And let that be an encouragement. Be willing to sacrifice for your family. Men, just as you get up every day and go to work with a smile on your face because you know this is going to put food on the table, a roof over your head, and keep your family safe. Just as you're fulfilling your responsibility, this is another way to do it. So yes, it's going to take sacrifice. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be difficult, and that's okay. The good things in life often are. In fact, I don't know any good thing in life that isn't difficult. Okay, good relationships are difficult because you're dealing with two broken people trying to work together who are at times selfish and want what they want instead of what the other wants, or putting the other's best interest ahead of their own. Okay, you want to have a good relationship with your children? Same thing, you got to struggle with that. Want a good relationship with your wife, you're going to have some struggle there, okay? You want to have a good business, guess what? There's struggle in that. You want to have a good church, a good community, guess what? You're going to have to struggle with that, because again, we're dealing with people. Sacrifice is okay. It's good. It's necessary. And do it with a smile. Do it with an encouraging spirit, a spirit that is joyful in it, okay? And that will make your homeschool journey all the much better. So again, to reiterate, you are qualified parents. No, your kids will not be weird. They will not be unsocialized. There's plenty of socialization. Join homeschool groups, join co-ops, make your own with a group of friends, meet at a church, go to conferences, go to curriculum sales. You can do it. It's not that you're not qualified. You are qualified. You know your children. You love your children. You are their best teacher ever. You will be their best teacher ever. Homeschool your children. Because, guys, we are seeing kids being sexualized at a young age. We're seeing them be perverted and being sodomized and turning into sodomites. Okay, we're seeing them chop off appendages. And I mean genitalia, okay? We're not talking arms and legs. We're talking genitalia here. We're talking about kids being brutally disfigured for life because of a social fad, because of a cultural Marxist pagan perversion. We're seeing kids being encouraged to define themselves not on who they are, but rather what they look like, what they feel like in the moment. And we know as adults, we know that children and their minds are fickle. I know as a kid, I pretended to be a lot of things. I wanted to be a fireman, a police officer, an EMT, a volcanologist, an astronaut. I had a wide range of desires, and guess what? I've been none of them. I've not done one of those things. But as a kid, I had an imagination. And I'm so glad my parents weren't like, oh, you want to be a firefighter? Okay, there's a house fire 3 blocks down to go fight that fire. But that's what we're doing with children, with their sexual identity and sex and chopping off their body parts or blocking them from ever developing. We're seeing that. We're seeing them being taught that it's okay for Johnny to act like Susie and Susie to act like Johnny. And we're seeing a perversion of reality. We're seeing a subversion of reality. And gentlemen, it is your responsibility as the leader of your household, as the head of your household spiritually, to be the man, to be the one to say, not my house, not here, not my children. Everyone likes to talk about mama bears, and I'll be straight up with you. I have seen my mom in mama bear mode, and it's not pretty. I would hate to be anyone on her bad side, but guys, gentlemen, we need to get into dad bear mode sometimes. We need to stand up and say, not here, not my children, not now, not this family, period. Okay, we need to be like Joshua and say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves who you'll serve. If you want to serve Fauci, go ahead. If you want to serve, you know, the mask mandates, go ahead. If you want to serve, you know, pagan sexual identity, feel free. But not here, not my family, not my children. That's what we need. That's your responsibility. And a great way to do that is to homeschool your children. Instill in them the doctrines of productivity, of virtue, of self-sacrifice, of love, of godliness, of faithfulness. Give them the responsibilities and the tools and the resources to become the independent, strong, capable young men and young women they are called to be. Do that by homeschooling your children. Do that by giving them a education that is rooted in your values, that is rooted in your understanding of the truth and of them, and mingle those two. Bring those two together, that, you know, these are your passions, these are your skills, and here's the truth, and how do we work those two together so that you can grow in the truth and in your skills. Gentlemen, that is all I have for today. Thank you for listening. If this message encouraged you, please like, share, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. You know the drills. You've heard me and probably every other YouTuber or podcaster out there say it. But again, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time, and God bless, and become the men you are called to be by taking action today. Take action today and become the men you are called to be.